This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Our policy on cell phones is quite simple. The default this September, unless explicitly directed by their educator, for a child is out of sight, out of mind when it comes to cell phones in Ontario.
All righty, that is a voice of the Education Minister, Stephen Lecce, and of course the big talker, and probably in your house with your teens, is new bans and on the vaping side. Okay, they're going to crack down on vaping. All of a sudden, apparently, teachers in Ontario can now say, no, you can't do that, which I thought they could before. No, you cannot vape in the school. What a great novel concept. All right. But the other thing is, obviously, is banning cell phones during school hours. And if you are kindergarten to grade six, you've got to keep your phone silent and out of sight the entire day. Grade seven and up banned from their phone during class. I guess you can take it out on break. The access to social media platforms on the school networks and devices also will be blocked on school property. And of course, there are always ways to get around this. Kids are smart. They'll figure it out. But is this the right way to go? And why haven't the boards moved faster on this? Why did it take legislation? Let me bring in Paul Davis to this conversation, founder of Social Network Safety. And good to have you, Paul.
Thanks for being here. Thanks for having me, Alex.
I was going to send this to you yesterday on your week, and I thought, like he wants to be bothered by me on a Sunday, and thought, well, does this do enough? And we've had so many conversations about this, but what's your feeling on the fact that here we are in 2024, and apparently we need legislation now for this?
I guess I should start off by saying I always support technology as an educational means, and I believe that a smartphone is very beneficial for medical reasons, and some students need it for diabetes and all that. So I'm going to put that out there.
Yeah.
Having said that, I think this is a good first step. It just doesn't go far enough, in my opinion. And I'll tell you why.
Right.
We've divided grade 4 to 6 and grade 7 to 12. And what we need to do is divide all the way up until grade 8 and then address 9, 10, 11, 12. Because in Ontario, still most high schools are 9, 10, 11, 12. Now, in some regions in Ottawa, I know 7, 8 is already blended in high school. But with the 7, 8s, it states differently from the 4, 5, 6 that it can be on your body, but it must be silent and away. The first issue with that is these are kids. If you believe that they're going to be disciplined enough not to touch it, you're mistaken. I just finished speaking to 400 high schoolers in Bancroft. They're allowed to have it on their body. What do I see come out every now and again? A device. Why? Because they just can't leave it alone. Now, that's
compulsive.
Correct. Yeah. So in elementary school, I've always stated for 8 years, it's documented every night, away for the day. And so when I say it needs to go further, there are already principals who make it go further. So last week in Simcoe County, a principal showed me his contracts from every grade 7, 8 that was signed by the parent and the student that the phone will not be touched throughout the whole day. He said, I have no issues. My teachers are worry-free. We don't have any privacy concerns. And the kids are allowed to engage with each other as they should in school. Because what's going to happen now is if they do take it out at recess and lunch, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to go right to the device and they're going to ignore each other. In the most critical times of their lives where they need to understand human engagement, facial recognition, making eye contact with each other, they're now going to just leave the classroom, dip their heads onto the phone, taken away from the human interaction component. So that's a concern. Being on their body is a concern. And then we also have the fact that these devices, in many cases, are attached to iWatches. So if the phone is still on their body...
So you're going to see a Russian iWatch.
Yeah. Right. And so, because I've seen it in my presentations where I will look at someone and say, I'm sorry, is there something that's going on? And they're texting each other on watches. The parents are texting each other. So if we're going to make this right, the device has to be off and away for the day. And then we've got other issues, which is, well, your kid doesn't have a phone and my kid has a phone. Now that kid is isolated. So look, I want equality and equity in every educational component for our kids in elementary school. In high school, I will talk a different game. But in elementary school, my message has always been, please stop trying to replace that amazing human being called a teacher. The students, if we've learned anything about COVID, need human interaction with that educator. They need each other to engage, to develop relationships. And taking the phone away in elementary school is a great step allowing them to achieve that. They have all the time in the world after school to be on those devices. Last week I was out of school in Niagara Falls, and the principal said, there's no phones all day. But the second they leave school, when they're allowed to have phones, it's like she said, it's like an extension of their arm. They drop their head. They bump into each other walking out of school because that's what they do. These are kids. I'm not faulting them for them. That's the way they respond to this. So we need to take it one step further to help these kids out. They're in that vulnerable state. So we can correct this. We just need a bit more teeth, and this legislation would be amazing.
Well, what you're saying is you need parents to parent, right, and say no. And you'll get the same, you'll get a lot of parents who say, look, I have to pick up my child. They've got lots of sporting events, so I have to be able to. Every parent's got an excuse as to why their child has to have a phone. Everybody has that excuse. But if we all make up the same excuse, we're never going to get remedies to these problems.
Right. Well, my kids had sports. My kids had after-school chores.
Well, we all lived through the 70s and 80s and somehow survived. I got to be honest.
I'm talking about my girls that were in school during the inception of... They never had smartphones in elementary school, but they knew when I was picking them up. And if there was a doctor's appointment, it'd be a call to the principal's office. We managed really well. I think we've become dependent on instantaneous communication and, of course, helicopter parenting versus instilling the responsibility, saying, hey, today you're leaving early. 2:15, picking up for a doctor's appointment, be ready. No, they always need remote. No, instill the responsibility. Stop using the excuses of doctor's appointments and what are we doing tonight for dinner and we've got chores to do and we've got sporting events to take. No. They'll know that when they get to school, so they develop this responsibility of knowing I got to be ready at a certain time. And then, we can put all those excuses aside.
So how do you then change the thinking? Because, and I'll say this because I get a lot of emails. It's not even just the kids who are a problem in the school. The teachers are on these devices all the time too, right? Like everyone's on them. Everyone justifies why they need them. Like I'll have mine on and someone will say, well, you're on your device. I'm like, yeah, I'm working. But everyone's got an excuse as to why they need them. But if we don't have an overall, I think, mindset change, certainly when it comes to younger kids, I don't know if there'll be a big commitment, you know, to doing anything more.
Yeah, well, with the teachers, I believe we have to start modeling the response, right? If the teacher's walking around all day at school with their phone in their palm, we're sending a mixed message. Because prior to COVID, when I would walk into a school, teachers weren't walking in with phones. And now I'm seeing an increase with teachers walking in with phones. I'm thinking, what's changed? Nothing has changed. And even principals will tell me they're trying their best to make sure that teachers are modeling the behavior of, put your phone away, use it when you have to, but are we going to walk around the school all day with a device in the palm of our hand? The answer is no. So it starts at the principal. I think the policy is good, but I know principals have gone beyond that to instill policy within their school for complete away for the day. So the leadership starts at the school, and we can hope to extend it to the parents to say, guys, please, and I say this on behalf of all, please stop texting your kids during the day. Please stop asking them what they want for dinner. Let them learn. They will.
We never had a choice, Paul. I was like, what do we have for dinner? Liver. Oh, okay. Or oxtail stew. It's like, I just stopped asking after a while. I was like, I don't care what I'm doing. I want to know.
So good first step. I just think it needs a little bit more of a bite, and I think this will work out perfectly. But if this policy is going to help principals who are struggling today, I'm all for it.
Yeah, look, if it gives them, you know, the green light that they can finally, you know, put some rules in that are long overdue and needed, then great. I just hope they all follow suit, right? Collectively, I think it's better for everyone.
If I can tell you from my experience, I'm seeing a positive uptick in away for the day and more restrictions on phones in the schools I'm walking into prior to this. So every day I ask the question, every day I see exactly the lay of the land in schools. And not only Ontario, you know, in Ontario, Alberta, and where I visit. And so I see it moving in the right direction. Now, are you going to have pushback? 1,000%. But overall, I see it going in the right direction. So I'm really, I feel positive about that. Honestly, I do. Anytime.
Appreciate it. That's Paul Davis, founder of Social Network Safety. So he spends most of his time in schools, either warning kids and parents about the dangers of online or getting parents and kids out of trouble that they've gotten themselves into online. One other thing you could do is, like, you know, the social media aspect, there's got to be something you can do to scramble the signal.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.